TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Now you can save on orders of $150 or more with free shipping. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular conventions year-round or contact them via Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 155, recorded June 5th, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf, a.k.a. Duran Land. You can follow us on Twitter, at TFYLP. Joining me this evening is Sideburn 2.
What's up?
Marani Prime.
With Blackjack and a hooker.
And Headmaster Don.
Everybody.
And Proto Man.
Back in the pack.
Back in the pack. All right, we're going to have a little bit of hodgepodge tonight. There's been some things coming up in the news that that's worth talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about those and also look at BotCon coming up in a couple weeks. I know a good portion of us are going to be there. Out of the people that's on the show tonight, I think only Cyber is not going to be there. So, because he spent all his money on those fancy displays and behind him. But it looks pretty badass. I give you kudos, man. We're going to be talking a little bit about some third-party reveals and some stuff that's shown up, the Combiner Hunters Fembots 3-pack that's going to be at SDCC. I know Ronnie Prime, he checked out a video that came up this past week about the Combiner Wars Titan Devastator, and he's going to give us some thoughts on that and just a few thoughts here and there. So without further ado, I do want to mention we did an episode a couple weeks ago about the death of the collector and, having a plan for once you're gone and dealing with your collection. If you haven't thought about that or haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend it. RFC also did a supplemental here recently that had some good thoughts. I listened to that the other night, and it was they had some good counterpoints, and I agree with some of those, and I urge you to check that out as well. Kind of related, there's a fellow collector that recently passed away, and Marani Prime's going to tell us a little bit about a GoFundMe page that is up to help out his family.
All right. Well, as some of you may have heard on social media, the fandom has recently lost one of its own, David Sloan. And there has been a GoFundMe page set up by his friends and his family. they're trying to raise a total of $9,000. And what this is for, I suppose he was living out in, looks to be Las Vegas, Nevada, and they are trying to fly his remains home to Mississippi, so he can be put laid to rest there. And as of right now, it appears that they've got just over half in 4 days from 68 people. Looks to be $4,365. So I guess it's just shy of half, but right at about the halfway mark in only less than a week. So that in itself is wonderful. The link to the GoFundMe page will be shared in the TFYLP Facebook page, and you'll be able to click on it there. And
You mean the public group, the not the page itself?
Yes. I'm sorry.
We do just so some people will get a little bit confused. We have a page for TFYLP. It's more or less news, and then there's a discussion group that people can join and discuss things on the show. And it'll be actually in the discussion group.
And the next discussion is best cat on TFYLP.
Massey.
I don't know. Mr. Bigglesworth is laying right behind me, and he might.
Okay.
But
depends on if he's thawed.
Yeah,
he's got to be thawed out. That's the key.
Also, speaking about the Facebook thing, we are on Facebook. Check us out at Twitter at TFYLP. I'll get it out here in a minute. And we also keep a watch. I'm going to ask Sideburn to keep a watch on the Facebook group. So if you have any comments or questions on what we're talking about during the show or even after the show, if you're listening to the downloaded audio only version or watching the YouTube video, after the fact, we still can talk about episodes and things that we discuss in the Facebook group. So if you want to talk about things that we talk about on here with us and share us your thoughts, feel free to talk about them on Facebook. And again, also on Twitter at TFYLP. I'm keeping a check on that. And we also have a forum on our website on tftalk.net. It's not real busy right now, but we do check it out periodically. So that's another avenue for you.
And also, Duren, with BotCon coming up, I know since everybody's going to be listening to all of our back podcasts on the drive up, if you're driving or flying, you know, you got all these wonderful episodes you can listen to. Ask us in person. If you're at BotCon and you see us and you want to bring up a topic and get our thoughts on it or want to make a comment to us, providing we can repeat it in public, you know, there's always that. But you know,
or even if you're Richard, don't be a Richard, guys.
Yes, don't be Richard.
Yeah, but you know, you happen to already be Richard.
Richard. So if you see us at BotCon,
flag us down. You should go by Dick.
You know, so just flag us down at BotCon and let us know what you thought. We appreciate the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of BotCon, if you're on the way to BotCon and you're listening to this episode, you might also want to go and check out episode number 154, last week's episode. We had one of the co-founders of BotCon, Carl Hartman, on the show, and we went pretty lengthy, but there was a lot of great information, a lot of great stories on there.
Stuff even I didn't know.
It was truly was a pleasure to have Mr. Hartman on the show here, and you know, I can't wait to have him on the show again sometime soon. But I'm really looking forward to BotCon now. You know, I'm going to actually be able to do my first custom class. I'm really excited about that.
I have a feeling it's going to be a good year.
I've never had an opportunity to partake in one until this year. So I'm really jazzed about that. And I'm actually going to be selling something at BotCon. I'm going to be trying something out. I'm going to share it here real quick. If I can pull it up. And I don't mean this as a shill or anything, but it's something new. I'm going to try, and I hope people, if you're a listener of the show, come by and tell me about it. tell me what you think. If you like it, I'm probably going to do more. But I'm going to be selling a limited print of this photo that I have done recently of Masterpiece Bumblebee. And it's going to be limited to only 20. It's 11 by 17, and I'm going to price them at $10 a print. And they're going to be individually numbered and initialed by me on the back. I'm not going to make any more prints of these. And if you like this picture, you can have a copy of one hanging on your wall in your collection room sometime soon. If you get there quick enough, hopefully they'll sell out quickly.
I actually toyed with the idea of doing a picture of Massey just to give out to everybody that came out more than one at least. But I could not get him to stand still like in one spot. And it's like every time he saw me with my phone camera, he would turn away. It's like he knew what I was trying to do. So I tried picking him up and do like a self that note.
You need to make some business cards and put him on the back of it.
I think the blurrier it is and the more like, you know, just
being attacked.
Yeah, I think that would really fit the character.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like Massey was just trying to show off his good side.
Yes, balls.
Or
making a Massey of himself.
Let's jump into some third party independent news right off the bat and kind of knock that out, and then we'll move on to some Creo Wiki information and some other things. Don, you want to hit us off with something about third parties?
Alrighty. First thing we got coming out is Iron Factory is a newer company. They've been out for a while. I'm not familiar with them as far as their products, but from what I understand, they've been out for a while and they've done several sets. The most recent one was their Windblade, the small legend size Windblade figure made basically to scale with Metroplex. Now they're coming out with a new figure called Evil Lord, which is an Overlord figure from Transformers Master Force. I'm sorry. Master Force!
Massey Force.
And a new Prowl-like figure. We don't know their name for this figure yet. And legend size War for Cybertron-ish Dinobots. So more Dinobots, but in scale, instead of going bigger, they're going smaller, which I think a lot of people would enjoy having new Dinobots at a more affordable price point compared to some of them. Those are coming out. Jordan, are those links working for you?
I'm trying to pull one up.
Okay.
So I don't see pictures of their Dinobots here, but...
The links are...
Those are really cool.
Yeah, now that's the Prowl figure that we don't have a name for as of yet that I know of. Very Cybertronian design on that one. But it's the Overlord that really is interesting me, because it looks like it has a base mode. They separate like Overlord should. Mm-hmm.
There he goes.
You know, that, I mean, and with the cancellation of the BTS Nova, I believe it was Novastar?
Novastar, yeah.
Yeah, but with the cancellation of that figure last year, there is no Overlord in the works that I know of, at least past a wireframe design that I know of. But it has a base mode, they separate. So this could be a lot of people's first Overlord. So... And apparently, I've heard nothing but good things about the quality of the Windblade, so that's a definite something on the radar.
These things are really cool. I mean, for me, it's the scale that really sells them to me. Like, I know people love the Masterpieces, but my biggest problem with Masterpiece and why I don't collect it is that they are big and they take up a lot of space.
Well, you just buy more details.
I don't know if I have that much room left in this. But these look really highly detailed, and they're small. I'm really digging them.
I like the fact of that they scale well with the big guy that's over my shoulder here, Metroplex. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to set up some kind of little diorama.
Yeah. He's right there.
I think that's kind of the intent, especially with the Dinobots and stuff. Yeah. Anything that's of that War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron kind of continuity, it's supposed to work with that Metroplex.
Plus everyone that I know that has bought that Windblade has bought it just to be displayed with
Metroplex. With Metroplex.
Yeah.
For the city speakers and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I want a really tiny Waspinator. They come out with a really tiny Waspinator.
We kind of have a tiny Waspinator.
Yeah. I have him, but come up with another one. I bet you I will buy it. I mean, there's not enough Beast Wars third party. I would have a hard time saying no to Beast Wars third party. I'm just saying.
So there's that. The Prowl looks very nice. Prowl's not one of my major characters that I constantly look for new figures for, but it does look very nice. Prowls. And by the way, those last two were compliments of T-Formers. Thank you to the people at T-Formers for all their dedicated work as well. And then now from WTF and TFW, the guys and gals over there, we have the first look. Now, this is line art, but it's the first line art we've seen for Fans Toys, their Grimlock Collar Grinder, which will be probably the last in the series of their Masterpiece Dinobots. And Fans Toys, both Diecast and myself on RFC, are collecting the Fans Toys version of the Dinobots. I don't plan right now on getting their Grimlock, just because I have Masterpiece Grimlock, and I'm old enough to collect that scale really is not a thing for me anymore. Because if it ever was, it would drive me crazy. But it's nice to see what they have in mind. And if engineering is as unique as the rest of them, I may wind up getting it. I don't know. But for those of you who may not be following it, this is the scale of the Fans Toys figures. We're looking at Masterpiece level, size, materials. This is my hand. Just covering the back on his legs, and that's the rest of the figure.
And you're a tall guy too, so
yeah. So I
don't know. I don't think his hand's quite to scale. His
hands are that size. Okay, here's Swoop in vehicle mode, and here's GoBot Stinger.
Your video's froze
up. For the three people who
have it. I got it.
Have a G1 Optimus Prime or something to hold up next to it.
Okay, I know what
something I'm saying. Somebody actually has.
You can take mine.
The 300 series are about as long as a SparkBot, a ThrottleBot.
Okay. All right, well, here's Generations RC.
Deluxe.
Mm-hmm. Deluxe and Swoop.
Okay.
Pretty flipping big.
It's a pretty big flipping bird. If you flip someone this bird, you're going to knock them out.
Flipping bird.
Mm-hmm.
So, again.
It has some heft to it because it's got a lot of die-cast.
It does have a lot of die-cast in it. So, yes, they are a little pricey. They run about $179 to $199, depends on if a store does an early bird special or not. You'll probably start seeing pre-orders for these going up soon. Because the Fans Toys is just a very popular line of Dinobots. So
yeah. This is a recent picture I took of Fans Toys Sever.
Looking forward to getting.
Yeah. It is a fantastic toy. I didn't want to give it back to Orson whenever he gave it to me to photograph it.
But as good as that looks, I think I'm more anticipating the sludge.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people that wants to drop over a grand on Masterpiece Dinobots because I just don't have it to spend. Yeah. But if I was going to get any of them, it would be Sever and Stomp and that'd be Snarl and Sludge respectively because those were two of my favorite Dinobots along with Grimlock. And matter of fact, Snarl, I have sentimental attachment to him because he was my first box Transformer. And then Sludge was my favorite Dinobot, and sadly, he's the one that gets ignored a lot.
And Sludge was my first Transformer ever.
Because he's not a real dinosaur.
I'm still waiting on panels.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The paleontological talk tonight. The dinosaur,
paleontological.
The dinosaur people say there
the dinosaur is, people.
The dinosaur people say.
The slee stacks say that the Brontosaurus could be a
Marshall and Holly.
Basically, what they thought the Brontosaurus was, and then they disavowed, could be just a different life cycle of one of the other dinosaurs. So it does exist again. So,
well, he could be a Seismosaurus or something other. Yeah. He's a sauropod of some kind. Yeah. But we're getting off into a paleontological thing. So
I'm sorry. You said dinosaur people, and I imagine Jurassic Park 5, and here comes the Sinclair family. It would be dinosaur and everything.
That would be good. And another one, again, comments of TFW 2005. Stormbringer Megatron by Megasteel. This is the war for Cybertron, a war within Megatron in tank mode and robot mode, I believe. It's not a current generation mold for Megatron, am I right? It's definitely the more War for Cybertron or Fall.
Well, it's Stormbringer, so I think it's more reference to the pre-continuity IDW comics.
Yeah. Okay.
But Stormbringer was the first time IDW did something that was that like pre-G1 era, but not Megatron Origins.
Okay, all right.
But a lot of their pre-Earth.
Yeah, the designs are all over the place. Yeah.
Well, and it's a lot like
War Within. Duran, go back to the robot mode.
Well, because that's like we were talking about
See, and you know what's funny? Because it has – I can't see it in – it's similar to the Titanium 6-inch, the way that the back is done.
Yeah.
The Fallen even. Yeah. But then it takes
– the Combiner Wars Megatron can do that as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's because the current IDW Megatron does have the treads on his back like that. It looks like it could play. I mean, a lot of the pre-Cybertron stuff or the pre-Earth stuff in the IDW comic books looks a lot like the War Within stuff from Dreamwave days.
That may be what I was thinking of.
And yeah. Because
really the Fallen, like the way that the cannon goes on the arm, the treads on the back with. Oh man, I gotta pull that figure up. One second.
Yeah, it does look a lot like him.
I wonder if that will be an eventual repaint or remold of this figure if it does well.
Could be.
Moment. Like, see, it has those things there,
mm-hmm.
and then it has the cannon on the arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's invoking something very similar to that.
Yeah. That wasn't, and that one wasn't remolded from the Megatron, was it?
No, what? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was its own original mold.
Hmm.
I have the whole series of them here. He was never retooled into anything.
Yeah.
Did any of the Titaniums get retooled?
RID Prime became Hot Zone.
They got repainted. Okay.
Well, those were all repaints. I don't think there ever was a retool. I'm looking at them right now. They were all just repaints of each other.
At the time, retooling wasn't much of a thing.
Yeah.
And don't forget Rodimus and the Minotaur, the one.
The repaints were pretty much Seeker Jets because one was an SDCC exclusive with Skywarp. You had, like you said, Hot Zone, which was from the RID Prime. They did the. There was ones that were planned that never happened. Also, there was like they were going to do a Sound Blaster. They were going to do.
Well, wasn't that the first Sunstorm that we got in the States?
No,
Universe 1.0 Sunstorm, which was a repaint of Armada Thrust.
Thrust.
Again, that's an obscure one, but
Definitely for some people, I think that's gonna be a very niche collector, even in a very niche market. But I think it looks good. Hopefully, it fills a hole in somebody's shelves. And best of luck to them on good sales.
Well, I mean, it'll look good with the Iron Toy Dinobots because they're based on War Within as well. And it's going to look, you know, it could You can finally build that War Within shelf that you've wanted for the last 15 years since IDW put the comic – or not IDW, but Dreamwave put the comic out.
You can have a War
Within outside of Titanium Toys, really. That's about it.
It's amazing how many people are still clamoring for those designs so many years after it was over. I was actually helping Captured Prey the other day, our sponsor Captured Prey, get some things ready for BotCon, and he had some one-offs, and he still has two War Within Thundercrackers from Mastermind Creations. I believe he's going to have those at the CP3P. There. And well, since we're bringing it up, I'll go ahead and we'll take this time to shell our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. And now you can save even more through the Capture Prey loyalty program.
Great Google.
And yes, and even more, if you buy over $150, you get free basic shipping within the United States. You can see the website for details. And also our other sponsor, Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan and get great prices on great vintage figures. And you can catch Mega Toy Fan at all the greatest robot conventions year round, and you will be able to see them at BotCon. So,
The last thing that we have for third party, again, we're just sort of cherry picking here because a lot has come out in the past 2 weeks. I was just trying to pick some of the best ones. This is one of my personal favorites. Make Toys, who we all know has done Utopia, Dystopia, Quantron, a lot of good figures since they've come out. The Battle Tanker series is coming out with a visualizer, which is their version of G1 Reflector, which to me looks astounding with the pictures we've seen so far. It's just the colors are there, the design is there, and Reflector is not one of those characters that I just have been dying for a revision of until I saw these.
And they do look pretty good.
I think they look pretty nifty.
Pretty on model.
Who was it? Was it TFC that did Photron, the DSLR?
Yeah, they did that.
That was a really, really great version of it. I had it and eventually sold it because, I mean, it was good, and it was had a lot of detail, but it just didn't look like these guys. I mean, these guys here seem to fit the animation model the best.
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing that's going to make or break this one for a lot of people is the camera mode as far as how it converts, because unlike a lot of Transformers, I think Reflector is going to be in camera mode most of the time in the alt mode versus the individual. I mean, do y'all agree or disagree? Do y'all think?
Yeah. Well, I hope that these guys, since they were pretty much the generic bots, or I'm sorry, generic cons of Generation 1 in the first season or two, I hope that these guys at least come with a accessory that looks like their camera form.
So like Masterpiece Skywarp could hold them or something.
I hope they come with that, and then you can actually stand them next to the...
That would be fantastic.
Now, how tall did it say they were? 16 centimeters? What's that, roughly 4 inches? Something like that?
Ish.
16 centimeters?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very tall. It's about almost 5 inches.
Yeah,
It's metric. Who knows how that works?
What's that? It's not metric.
16 centimeters is.
No. Oh. Meteric.
Meteric, yeah. But, does anybody know about what the price will those will be? Or
I haven't seen anything on that yet. I'm sure once the price hits, you'll start seeing pre-orders go up for it.
I'm going to call it roughly $50 to $60 since they're so small.
I'm probably guessing about $79 to $99 just because it comes with a tripod. So the camera can be like on a tripod. If it does come with the extra smaller version for other figures to hold, They might even come with empty Energon cubes, because in one scene they were carrying Energon empty cubes to be filled. Mm-hmm. So they might even do that to round out the packaging.
The only reason I say that it might be in the $60 range is because of, for example, Mastermind Creations, their Eupatorium and the other Fembots that they came out with, that's around their price point. And they're really good size figures with a lot of great detail for not a whole bunch of money. You know, I mean, yeah, it's if they're roughly large deluxes in size, but if you consider, you know, third party runs, and I won't get into all the dynamics pricing of third party right now, but it's a really good price for the figures that you get. And I'd like to see these reflector guys be at least in the $60 range, but maybe, like you say, Don, they may be as high as 80, but I don't see them being 100 or more. I really don't.
Not for that scale.
Not for that scale. And it's obvious that they're not very complex either. They don't look really complex, but that'll be it, I believe, for a third party, unless anybody has any other comments on it. No.
Well, I actually, and this is just kind of a stupid thing. I just popped into my brain a little bit ago. Is
I don't smell water's burning.
Right. You got Utopia and Dystopia, right? As the Metroplex and the Metro Titan. What if they were to go completely Platinum Series on us and have it in all sorts of like rainbow colors and call it Fruitopia?
Fruitopia. Oh, God.
I totally thought that drink was like forgotten long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Awesome. Wow. You know, I used to work for Pepsi Cola, and Pepsi Cola distributed Fruitopia. Mm-hmm. And they discontinued that drink long before I worked for them, and I worked for them for over a decade. And at one point,
they got it in foreign markets, don't they?
Some places they do, yeah. But then again, you've got places like Japan that has like cool cucumber Pepsi, salted watermelon Pepsi, yeah. which ironically, I kind of like to try it at least. But anyway.
Yeah, Hydra, if you're watching the broadcast, bring some Pepsi with you from Japan when you come.
Yes. I used to fill vending machines, and there was a college that I delivered to, and in the deepest, darkest recesses of one of the dorm buildings where they had a vending machine, it was a Fruitopia machine. At least the graphics on it were Fruitopia, and I'm like, wow, this thing is ancient. It just... I mean, the machine was ancient. The graphics were ancient.
Well, Pepsi and I went and parted ways to a degree when they canceled Crystal Pepsi. I'm sorry. I have to say it.
Did you know that Pepsi Blue was simply Crystal Pepsi with blue dye in it?
Yeah, and I can't. Pepsi Blue. And I can't stand Pepsi Blue.
Yeah, it tasted like soured raspberries to me. But
anyway,
we're talking about plastic robots here.
Welcome to Pepsi for your listening pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are not sponsored by Pepsi, so
Pepsi. TFYL Pepsi?
Yes, YLP.
We are sponsored by RC.
Sponsored by RC Cola. Jim, you had some things about the Creo Wiki you wanted to tell us about.
Yeah, I've been kind of on the fence on trying to decide whether or not to go ahead and declare Creo dead for the United States from my perspective. But recently we've seen several items released domestically that were not anticipated. Some of these are fundamentally reissues of sorts from the 2012 series, the Quest for Energon, where you had the translucent purple pieces to eventually assemble the Quest Blaster. And these have been sighted at stores such as Big Lots, And we've seen like it's Wheeljack and what was the red guy from Transformers Prime?
Knockout.
Yes, him. Those two, which originally they were, I guess, hard to find anyway, in their original release. So that they're back, you know, and some odd others have been released as well. And then at Family Dollar, I was getting to that sideburn. At Family Dollar, specifically,
Dollar Tree as well.
For $5 each, there are
$1.
Also, I got it for $1 each.
$1 each.
Well, yeah, I wasn't getting to those, but at Family Dollar for $5 each, there have been cubes containing randomly assorted pieces. From what I can tell, out of these two, one is a Megatron-based set and the other is a Bumblebee-based set. The Megatron set appears to have a lot of pieces from the 2011 Starscream building set, mostly like the small bits and blocks, nothing like the large wings or anything. And the Bumblebee set appears to have random bits from the 2011 Bumblebee kit. These do include one Kreon each. The weird thing about this, though, is the Megatron is an entirely original deco. It appears to be similar to the Class of 1984 box set from San Diego Comic-Con. But I don't have the set myself, but I've been told that it is significantly different and is closer to a Generation 1 appearance. The Bumblebee Kreon, however, the torso has the same tampograph as the SDCC 84 box set. So if you're looking for original Kreons, be on the lookout for those sets. And then lastly, at Dollar Tree, there have been cited for $1 each, $1 per a Kreon, the what I call Series 6 microchangers is the Age of Extinction Series 2. That contains such characters as Black Arachnia, Gears, and Trailbreaker and such. Scalor. So be on the lookout for those. A lot of Dollar Trees don't seem to carry those just yet, if at all. But I have seen them locally, so they're out now. Be on the lookout.
I am keeping a watch out for more as well.
Yes, so. And in the past week or so, I have done what I can to try to upload a bunch more instruction booklet scans. So the ones that I've mentioned, as well as Series 1 and 3 for City of Ill Invasion blind packs are also available online.
So are the I was actually going to post about those boxes. It's just totally random pieces?
Well, on the box, on the cube itself, aside from the differing picture of Megatron or Bumblebee, the random blocks in the background are the exact same blocks between the boxes. They're just colored differently.
I see.
So it's a palette swap. And those ones that are pictured are not the ones that are in the cube. So where you see translucent purple plastic on the front of the cube, there's no translucent blocks. Not in the ones that I've seen. But that may vary. Later on this week, if I get time, I'm going to actually take the pieces from each cube and photograph, I'm going to organize them and lay them out and photograph them so as to document what blocks come in those cubes. They do not come with instructions.
Left at your own peril.
Now, if only the battle changers would come to...
Yeah.
To that market.
Now, one funny thing I wanted to mention about this Megatron cube from Family Dollar. If you guys recall from 2011, the earliest stages of Creo, the characters that the Kreons had profiles, little story blurbs about them, like their favorite cold cereal, the greatest fears and things. Megatron's fear was being helplessly lost in a box of random blocks. Yeah. Just saying.
Just be saying. You know.
Yeah, it happened.
Dude. Just be super saying.
No. That was Shia LaBeouf.
It's over 9,000 pieces.
Yes. No, there was a video earlier that Shia LaBeouf went Super Saiyan. It was comedy gold. He just did it.
Just do it.
All right. Let's get on to some San Diego Comic-Con news and some reveals that we've had here recently. Cyburn, you want to kick that off?
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to kick it off with the one that interests me most. And that, so we just got pictures of grayscale prototypes of Takara Tomy's Legends Nightbird, Slipstream, and Black Arachnia.
Very nice.
Yep.
And what's that?
Do not copy.
Yeah, do not copy.
No pictures. Do not copy on the image.
Yeah, no pictures.
Yes, no Xerox.
So Nightbird is a retool of Generations RC. Slipstream, a retool of Windblade, and Black Arachnia is a retool of Black Arachnia from Animated.
Yeah.
Which I find really interesting. It looks like they're trying to pull off like almost her head from the Beast Wars toy.
That's what I was thinking.
Not so much. Not so much from the show.
It resembles a little bit the kind of the mutant head from the toy.
Yeah. The fact that they retooled the chest and the head really says they're going for the Beast Wars character.
Yeah.
And considering that Sakamoto-san is known for doing all the box art of the characters up to this point, Sakamoto-san is known for drawing voluptuous characters and stuff, I'm really thinking we're finally getting something that we could dub our classics Black Arachnia.
Those mandibles.
Yeah.
Those are some voluptuous mandibles.
I really hope they do something.
Yeah, I really think that's what they're going to go with.
I'm hoping they do something about that mold's heels, because that mold doesn't like to stand very well. But other than that, I'm pretty excited because, Black Arachnia. That's all you have to say to me to get me excited. I did crack up pretty hard when I saw your post, Proto Man, on Twitter earlier. About
you're saying it's hanging like it's like two like you know like how women they have like silicone push ups that they put in their bras? It looks like they were hanging from her chin or something.
Here's
I don't know why.
I can't hold back.
Boom, Bob.
This thought just entered my brain and I can't get rid of it. Okay. Well, I was getting to that. Given what they transform into, okay, those mandibles, would motorboating essentially be the equivalent of Black Arachnia just going...
Either way, it's really cool that they're doing this.
They could have
been kind of lazy and just taken the animated mold, but actually it's pretty cool that they're retooling it and they're... Just because of the retooling, I'm telling you, it's got to be Beast Wars Black Arachnia. I think that there's no other way around that. It's totally going to be that.
I don't know these people. I was just shanghaied into this.
So, Don, motorboating.
Always wear your life vest.
Yes.
So what'd you guys think of the Nightbird and the Slipstream?
Nightbird,
Yeah.
Nightbird, oh my god, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm glad we're getting a second. Well, we really haven't had it. Well, Daniel, there was a Japanese. Was there a Japanese official model kit of her at one point or something?
When it comes to Nightbird merchandising, the first time we actually got anything of that character was that company called. That went bankrupt. It was like one of the first third-party companies to go bankrupt. They did the Quintessons, Impossible Toys.
Yeah. Oh.
They did a non-transforming Nightbird figure, and then, oddly enough, Impossible Toys did this one for TFCon, which the funny thing about this is we're going to get to the other SDCC exclusives that were recently revealed, that Dark RC and everything. But when we were working with this mold – originally, because this was originally an RC mold. The third party one. By the way, horrible toy. Probably the worst TFCon exclusive we've ever had. But less said, the better. When we were actually doing this mold, we were going to do a dark RC repaint before we actually settled on Nightbird. And it's funny because when they showed that dark RC repaint, we were like, huh, that's interesting. And now we have this one. So I don't know who's currently in charge of repaints and retools in Hasbro, but they're clearly barking up a similar tree of thought that we were back in the day.
Yeah. And, Nightbird has a very, very dedicated fan following.
Yeah.
So
she technically was the first female anything in terms of Transformers. Yeah. It predates Alita One's first appearance.
Yeah.
So.
Dark RC. Should we just call her Darcy?
Darcy, sure. Darcy. I just call her Dark RC because we don't really have, like, was it called RC?
Yeah, and then she runs around screaming, "That's outrageous!"
Truly, truly outrageous. Has anyone noticed how Hasbro seems to be doing some things that are seemingly in your face for third party? Like the gaudy size of Titan Class Devastator. It's like he towers over anything third parties put out as far as combiners.
Aaron Archer said before he quit, he said he knew that when he was still with them, every single thing that came out was documented and put into a book, he said. He said at Hasbro, there's this big book of everything third party that comes out. It's like they have a guy who works there that just goes, oh, this is out. They have pictures.
That right on the show before.
Really? Yeah. And it's so clearly there's someone that's paying attention. Like probably when they have an idea in their head, they go, has a third party guy's done this? Has this been done before? Because they know, and look, the reality is we just had a conversation about a bunch of third party toys and agreeing to dedicate our money towards it. So they know that a lot of the money market, think about all the sales they probably lost in terms of combiner wars from all the people that are like, I got the TFC Superion. I don't need it. Or I got the, you know. So they're aware that it's a market that loses stuff. Same thing, all the people that aren't getting Titan Class Devastator because they're happy with their Hercules or their Giant, where if Hercules or Giant didn't exist, that would have been an instant sale with 99% of the fandom. Even the casuals who don't even care about Transformers, they remember those Constructobots, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's just – I mean that's why it's at SDCC because that's something that is going to hit every node with every single casual – like geekish chic fan, everyone remembers those Constructicons, and here it is at SDCC. That thing's gonna sell out like crazy.
Yep,
for sure. And from what I'm hearing, where it has more decos than even our retail release, it's gonna be a no.
It has a more toy accurate head sculpt too. It actually has eyes instead of a visor. It has eyes.
I gotta make a phone call. Get me one of those.
No visor for Comic-Con.
I mean, it just seems like more and more we're starting to see some things. I mean, it's not like advertised as it's like, hey, third party, look what we're doing, you know, try and top this, you know.
I remember BotCon, I was talking to a couple of the Hasbro reps on an unrelated note, and it came up in conversation, and they used it later in the Hasbro panel that, if you see something that you like in third party, there's chances are they will eventually get to it. You just have to give them time to get there because of all the hoops they have to jump through versus a third party. It just comes down to this as an individual collector.
Well, it's been said before. Also the engineering dedication because third party as a whole is dedicated specifically to catering to G1 market with the you know, rare exceptions that go Beast Wars or whatever, but 99% of third party is G1 market or G1 related characters. Where Hasbro, they have to split their engineering department towards the G1 kind of stuff that's in that classics, Henkei, whatever, and then whatever is mainline at the time, and then whatever is a subline at the time, and then, oh, hey, we got to put some guys doing Creo, and we have to put some guys doing Robo Mashers. So a lot of the engineering departments are split up where a third party is dedicated to that. So they're way ahead of the curve. They have every.
Well, it's also been said before. I think it was Rick Alvarez that said it on the show that there's generally about a 2-year lead time between the time that it's on piece of paper to the time that they actually have a product in hand. And if you think about it, how long ago was it that we saw like Hercules and Giant first come out? It was about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
A good example
of that too is Aaron Archer. He was working on Age of Extinction stuff. You know, when we got Age of Extinction, he was already 2 years off of the company. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It tells you something right there when the pad and paper really starts. You know?
Well, and it's the thing is that even though, you know, even if it might have been 4 years ago that we got Devastator and Giant, or I mean, sorry, Hercules and Giant, even if it was then, you know, they could have designed the Titan class Devastator and all these Combiner Wars guys. But then, you know, you've also got to wait for the opportunity to logically release these figures. You can't just say, oh, they're ready, let's throw them out there. They knew that Age of Extinction was coming. They knew that they were going to have this. They knew that they were going to have that. It's not as much as a lot of the fandom wants to think that Hasbro just does things willy-nilly and they're like, oh, spur-of-the-moment thing. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way Hasbro works, and honestly, it's not the way third-party works either. They plan these things out. And sometimes one beats the other to the punch. A case in point was there was a third party that was working on a Masterpiece Soundwave, and we had seen some protos of it, and then it just fell by the wayside the moment Takara released the first images of Masterpiece Soundwave.
The funny story with that, because I know from behind the scenes when we were doing the third party panel, what happened with that was. A lot of those guys that were working on that Soundwave, the same like group of guys, there were a group of Chinese guys, were also working with BTS's company at the time. And those guys, a lot of them work within Hasbro's factories. And so BTS at the time, we've only shown teaser images of this at TFCon. It was never something that was ever public. We showed that BTS at the time was actually planning a Fortress Maximus. And then they discontinued it the second they found out that Takara was doing a Fortress Maximus re-release of the original G1 toy. And it's the same thing. The Soundwave, the Masterpiece Soundwave, as we'll call it with quotes here, they were planning that, and then the second they found out that engineering was happening with Hachigochi-san and everything with China, with the factories, they right away pulled it. They're like, well, if Hasbro's doing it, what's the point of us putting it out there? They usually target stuff. If you see a third-party company doing it, it means probably it's not on Hasbro's plate in the near future. It'll happen one day, but it's not in the near future.
Well, and then you also have the occasional thing where there is overlap, like the Fans Toys Grinder that we just saw the line art for a few moments ago, which is their version of Masterpiece Grimlock. And I think the only reason that they are doing that is so that they will offer fans a figure that will scale well with their other Dinobots.
That's primarily the reason. I think that's the only reason why that exists. I think that if the scale issue did not exist within those other figures, Grindr would not exist at all. I mean, they gave that original, you know, fix with the stilts that you could put on their feet or whatever. But that didn't work. A lot of people hated that. So they figure instead of investing in stilts, why don't we make a whole mold? We'll make some money from it. And Lord knows already the original Grimlock, even though it's been released 5 times already at this point, 6 times, it still goes for big money. So they might as well get a piece of that pie.
Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the DX9 Carry, which is their version of Masterpiece Rodimus. It's a different aesthetic, though.
Yeah, that's actually hitting more of a different. That's actually a very unique design. That's not something that's going more for the Fleuro Deary television design that the MP9 Rodimus did. This is more of the Ox Studios Japanese manga design. And the thing is, we haven't really seen proper colors of it, but looking at how that transformation is going to go, some people are going to be 50-50 on how it looks. Even me, like I'm looking at it, like how the transformation is going to work. The colors are going to be kind of hard to pull off to make it look nice, especially from behind. It's going to look weird, but you'll see what I mean when it comes out.
But let's move on to the Combiner Hunter 3-pack Fembots, the Chromia RC and Windblade. Let's talk a little bit more about those. Don, you have thoughts on those? Well,
I just saw them today for the first time. We got pictures, I think, today or late yesterday on them. When it comes to San Diego stuff, it's very rare for me to even go into thinking I'm going to get anything, because the last thing I tried to get from San Diego was the DC Universe Classics Wonder Twin gift set. And it took me – I got very lucky with the eBay retailer who did a pre-order for what I thought was a fair price, but it was still a headache to get. So I pretty much write most San Diego stuff off as just not being attainable.
A lot of those decrease in value. Hype is hot. Like, for people who are listening who want to buy them but probably not interested in the price, with the exception of Devastator, most SDCC exclusives, they come out and the hype is really high and people pay big money for them in the secondary market, and then it starts to peter down. I know that SDCC Metroplex, when he came out, people were easily paying double what he was because he was $150 at SDCC, and then, like, he was $300 on eBay and everything. Literally 4 weeks later, TFCon happened, and already that, like, hype was kind of died down a bit, and now he was going for like $200, going down to $180. So right now, who knows, because now, like, that mold is out of the market, but it's always better to wait.
Yeah.
Same thing, like a good example, the Prime SDCC exclusives, when they did the Zombie Cliff Jumper, a lot of those today you could get almost at the original SDCC price. Yeah.
I like the way all three of them look, but, you know, it's just, again, it'll be a pickup later on if I see a good price. But I like the way I like the paint jobs. That RC sword, with her carrying that sword from Prime Beast Hunter, really.
I don't get the big swords, but then again, I don't read the comics.
I don't get how any of those you could pose with the sword. Yeah. Everyone's falling over.
You know, it's a very Japanese thing to have your teams of three, like Road Caesar. You know, those three always use their swords first before they use any of their blasters or anything. So, I think if you could do like a three sword pose where all their swords are crossing, it'd be kind of neat to look at. But it's I love it. I like the idea. It's always nice to get more female characters, even if they're just repaints. But it's not something I'm going to be jumping through hoops to get. Now, I mean, if Devastator was an orange or yellow G2 Devastator, I think a lot of people would. But I've just wrote San Diego exclusives off.
I'm surprised and disappointed that they didn't do a G2 deco on the Devastator.
I think they were just going for something mainstream.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad they didn't, so I don't have to fight for it.
Think about when we had Rick Alvarez on and he was talking about his idea for what to do with Metroplex for SDCC. And what they eventually done is Hasbro is not going to take a risk. And even though this is the time that they should take, do something wacky. I mean, it's funny because they'll do Metroplex and they'll do Devastator, and all they do is give you better paint apps. And then they do something like Knights of Unicron, which was just...
The hairband. That was so weird. I wanted it. I did. I really wanted it.
I agree.
Treasure Trolls.
I agree, but it wasn't... It really wasn't for anybody. No one was saying, I really want a rock, hair metal...
That's the funny thing, because that same year was also the year that we got the Ark with the G1 Dinobot color scheme. So that was the main... There's always that one big mainstream product that targets that mainstream audience, and then there's that weird product on the side. It's the same thing. The Devastator is the mainstream product that targets that 200,000 people that go to Comic-Con who only know Transformers fleetingly. And then you have the weird product, which is probably the RC3 pack. Maybe there's going to be some other stuff there that we're going to learn about later, maybe some PVCs or whatever. They always have some little stuff, too, that SCCC shows up with from Hasbro. But in general, that's the big product. It's the same thing, like I said before, we had the ARC play set with G1 Dinobot colored movie Dinobots, and oh, there's that, and that's aimed at that mainstream market. And then we had the hair metal band, which was like, I have no idea.
That one, I think, drew a lot of inspiration from Iron Maiden's album art. I know the box art on it was reminiscent of their album, The Trooper.
It was such a weird choice for something that's supposed to be the 30th anniversary of Transformers.
It seems to me like it was a wet dream of one of the marketing guys or one of the Hasbro reps that they went to him and said, hey, you've been with this company 25 years. What would you like to see? And we'll make an SDCC set of it. And he's like, oh, what the hell? Well, let's make one of them a hairband group. You know, it's like, okay. And you know, that kind of stuff actually does happen because like Rick Alvarez told us on the episode, we keep bringing it up. You know, if you just now listening to the show for the first time, go back and listen to some of our past episodes. There's some great stuff in there. But Rick Alvarez told us, you know, for example, that weird Astrotrain Blitzwing repaint mm-hmm. for Platinum that we're getting, he said most likely what was done is that those toys were given to a intern who didn't know anything about Transformers or they might have been told, hey, come up with something for this. And there it is. It doesn't have any rhyme or reason. It just is. And sometimes some of that stuff happens. And I think that's what that Knights of Unicron set was. I mean, it was just weird. And somebody said, just happened to say, hey, let's see how weird we can get. And
well, with the Blitzwing and the Astrotrain, the only thing I can come up with that would even be anywhere close to explaining their color schemes would be some sort of weird homage to Flywheels.
Mm-hmm.
Flywheels and Mock Tackle, respectively. But outside of that, I don't know. Brutopia, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's just a crapshoot, and I think it's just one of those things that's an aberration that's out there. It's available. It might not appeal to hardly anyone. I know, like I said, you know, I liked the Knights of Unicron. It was weird. I like hair metal music. You know, I would get it if it was affordable for me, and I found it. But, you know, is it something that I clamor for? No. Yeah. Does it mean anything to me? No. It's just weird. I want it, you know.
But you know, it's like Daniel was saying about the exclusives. Look at some of the past exclusives, like Titanium Minotaur from Titanium Rodimus.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give that thing away. Almost. I had one. I tried to sell it on eBay for 6 times before it's finally sold. You know, so I mean, just keep
well, alternator Rodimus, wasn't that an STCC exclusive?
Then yeah, it got, that one's a special case because it got bootlegged like crazy, and that really hurt the market.
Yeah, but that thing got
literally, you go on eBay, probably like 1 out of every 3 Rodimus you find on their STCC is bootleg. And being a Rodimus collector, the only way you can tell the difference is you have to look at the box, and it's the font on the side, so it's really hard to tell.
Yeah. But, you know, just keep your head, and, you know, there's always Hasbro Toy Shop after the fact. And like Daniel said, give it a few weeks, wait for the hype to die down.
Yeah, wait for the hype to die down. That's how it always is. It's the same, and I give the same advice with BotCon exclusives. If there's something you really like, just wait, because BotCon exclusives, man, a lot of these past sets that you cannot.
There's only been a couple sets that's been real home run hits.
2006 still sells amazingly well. The Shattered Glass still sells amazingly well. 2011 still sells amazingly well. Everything else has taken a huge dive. Almost every single other Fun Pub set has taken a huge dive since. It's really just those 3 sets that hold their value. I mean, you look in last year's, it's like, okay, the Scorponok, yeah, sure, that was good. But the set as a whole, no one cared. No one cared.
Well, and that's the Scorponok's all I wanted out of that set. But
there you go.
I'm not getting.
So no one's going to pay $400 for a box set when there's one, you know, mega scale, whatever you want to call it, Voyager scale figure in there.
Or and it's hard to resell one if you buy it just for that one figure and then
sell
the rest.
Oh, God. Then you have, what's his name there? I'm trying to look here. Cannonball, meh. Then you had, what's his name there? That white Cyclonus I keep forgetting.
Farrakh.
Yeah. Oh, Farrakh. There's a fan favorite. You know? So, I mean, it was just, there was so.
I have his line art right here. But, you know, it's, and that's not the, it's not taking a poo on, you know, BotCon or any of their releases. It's just that sometimes you really don't know what's going to do well with fans. Because sometimes some of the strangest things really take off. Me personally,
that's the wall of BotCon.
Yeah, me personally, every year. I have no. Now, I know Sideburn would probably disagree with me, but the what was it, the 06 or is it the 07, the one with the
Days of Future Past.
Well, it's the one with the Megatron in it. The that Carl was saying, yeah. I have no compunction for that figure whatsoever. I have no desire for it.
You mean the Cybertron Defense Red Alert mold?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's
awesome.
It is awesome, but at the same time,
it's Megatron.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's more so the main reason why the 2006 set actually goes for so much money is because 2005 was a bomb, and it was the first time FunPub did something that expensive, because if you think how 2004 and 2003 was for BotCon people, you had the one figure, it might have been $60, whatever. Then they're like, here's a box set, it's $300, and everyone's like, whoa, hey, what the hell? So a lot of people didn't pick that up. 2006 was the same thing. They weren't used to that idea yet. Then 2007 happened. It had those Seeker Jets. The movie came out. So now people were willing to spend money on Transformers and BotCon exclusives. That's why that 2006 set is worth so much money, because not a lot of people bought it. Not a lot of people had the money to buy it. And when people started having the money to buy it, when we all started, you know, having a disposable income for it, especially like post-2007 movie, everyone who is a Beast Wars fan snatched that up. That Megatron you're mentioning goes for like $1,000 alone on eBay. Easily.
I'm so disheartened because I want that set so bad.
Oh, everyone wants that set. That's an amazing set. It's especially if you're a Beast Wars fan. But, I mean, I'm just looking at them now. Like, the only ones that really do well. And I'm not a fan of Shattered Glass. I'm not a big fan of it at all. But, man, you put that set on eBay, the 2008 set, you usually get, like, you know, $1.5 grand for it for some reason. And the only other one is the animated set, for obvious reasons. And that's another set, too, that you can't just piece out one. You got to have it as five. Yeah. You know, you can't have just one. You can't just have one Stunticon. You got to have all five. And if you're an animated collector, and it's the same thing with the Beast Wars set. If you're a Beast Wars collector, you kind of want to have that. You know, that's something that's really key. Yeah. Where 2007 used to be a set that had a lot of money in it. And then all that stuff slowly started trickling into retail, where it's like now it's like, ooh, well, if you need your Bug Bite, it's there. Hey, GoBot fan, if you need what's the other one? Dreadwing, you know. But I mean, how many times have we already gotten better Dreadwing toys, and probably we'll get even better ones as time progresses.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now one thing I will say, and I'm just going to say this as a counter to one thing you said, Daniel. The 2000 after the fall, after Glenn and Hasbro parted ways in 2004, we didn't know up until December, early January, if there was even going to be a BotCon. And then the announcement that Fun Publications was taking over. FunPub had about 6 months to create a set, find a venue, and basically resurrect the show from non-existing. For the weaknesses of the 2005 set, It is a phenomenal set. And
I'm not saying it's a weak set in terms of presentation. Benson Yee worked on that set for 6 months, and it got a retooled head. Yeah. All the molds are fine. I mean,
exactly.
If you think at the time, classics didn't exist yet, but yet you had that Ironhide, which was like the closest we could have had to a classics toy at the time. There was no such thing as classics. You got that Ironhide. You got that Ratchet. You got that Outback, if you wanted to call it. Like, there was a lot of classics-esque before a classics even existed toys.
I just wanted to point that out. People that may not be familiar with all the BotCon history sets, I just wanted to point out that 2005 set did have some really good, strong molds in it. It may not be a very highly valuable set,
And all those virulent clones, man.
Yeah, right? It started the army builders.
Speaking of which, they've shown us recently some shots of, as of yet unnamed, repaints of the new generation's Waspinator mold.
The five different repaints?
Yeah, I'm wondering what
that's about. Yeah, I think I touched up on who all of those are supposed to be.
I had heard.
The running theory is that with the picture that you're referring to, there's four figures in the picture.
Yeah.
The running theory is that three of them are going to be the troop builder at BotCon, and one of them will be the free figure that it will be the attendee figure. That's
really
that's,
a small thing like that. That's going to be the attendee figure.
Well, I mean, the thing of it is though. The troop builders are usually in sets of three to get the economies of production from Takara. A fourth one in the same set, unless that mold is that popular, really kind of throws off the previous dynamics.
Here, I posted in the chat the theory on what each one of those molds are supposed to be.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what I'm hearing from most people that I know, is that it's the three of the troop builders and one will be the attendee figure. It may be a set of four troop builders, but that's not what they've done in the past. And they did say they were going back to the troop builders in the original formats, because last year they did Alpha Trizer.
Last year the troop builder was kind of going off of the clones. Like that was the closest thing you had to that, which they were using the Viacon mold.
I call the set of three the troop builders, because again it's the whole set of three.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Alpha Trizer. Alpha
Trizer came with Flame War and Ape Lynx or whatever he was called in that version.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just it was a set of three figures in one set,
but
not the same three figures. And they've already said they were going back to the same troop builders they've done in the past. So that's what I'm seeing.
You know, as far as those Waspinator repaints, what I think that they're doing, I don't know if you remember from an episode of Beast Wars where Rat Trap made the off comment about how many pieces of Waspinator he has. I bet you that's got to play into it somewhere along the line.
With Pack Rat?
Yeah, why not?
That's a possibility.
Have we talked much about these? So, I'm not sure. I haven't been on an episode where we talked about these. But so there's one that's colored. The most obvious ones is the one that's colored as the Fox Kids Transmetals.
All Waspinator.
Yeah. Or I like to call them Transmetals.
Buzzsaw. Yeah.
Then you have one that definitely screams Halloween HorrorCon Waspinator, which was never released. Kind of interested in the white and pink one being.
That's why I'm aiming more for RC, because the eyes kind of look like the bra. I don't know. that's how I see it. That's why I put the RC in that image there, because I was just like, that's what I'm feeling.
No motorboating there.
Yeah, maybe they're going for like a female. A female Waspinator?
It's possible. Mix it up a bit.
Yeah, and then that last one throws me.
The last one was, it was a BotCon 98 exclusive. Oh,
Vice Grip? No, not Vice Grip.
Not Vice Grip. It was Sandstorm, but it was the other one.
Power and Pants? His Antagony. Antagony. Yeah.
Not Antagony.
Oh,
no,
that's an
ant. One.
Wasp.
We're talking
Wasp.
About the red one.
Yeah. Yes, Wasp.
Talking all the way on the right.
I don't know. Yeah.
You mean Bioscript's original mold Power Pinch?
Yes. Yeah, No.
No.
Not Power Pinch. Power Pinch and Bioscript X. Bioscript, excuse me, not Bioscript X.
No, it's
because like the thing is that the one you're referring to, the one all the way on the right. Which is like the one that's all red and blue and everything. That was BotCon Japan 1998. They had a Scorponok repaint mold, and the little bug was called Beeline. So
I see.
I'm kind of aiming to, like, the little wasp itself. Like, that's why I have a picture of him shooting the wasp. or whatever you want to call it, the Cyber Bee, as he was called in the show. Uh-huh. So that was Beeline. So it could be Beeline. I mean, because as the blue and the red and the wings, and like, that's me reaching. That's me looking at all the colors and all the different variations that it could be.
It definitely doesn't. It's not. It's way too off to be a normal transmetal Waspinator. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a. That's interesting. I almost wonder if he. Well, I was to say if he has a lot more gray in robot mode. He might be like trying to homage Starscream, but.
At first, I thought Inferno myself personally, but then more I looked at it, it was other things, you know.
Yeah, that one really throws me for the loop. The other three, I'm really. You know, I'm interested in all of them because they turn into Waspinator, but.
It just occurred to me. I don't know if you guys remember this far back or not. Don might. He was alive back then.
Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1, Beast Wars Transmetals game.
I have the PlayStation version.
Yeah, there were several palette swaps on that, including ones of Waspinator. I wonder if maybe some of these might be akin to that in some way.
All I remember is
a panel about Transformer video games a couple of years ago. I mentioned that the PlayStation version usually tried to do homages to like certain characters, like, oh, hey, there's no Tigatron, so let's take the Transmetal Cheetor and make it white with spots and stuff, and it's like a Transmetal Tigatron. The weird colors with that one, though, I remember I made a list of this, and that one does not come up, though. To my knowledge, there was no red Waspinator, because Waspinator wasn't a selectable character in the PlayStation version. He was in the FMV scenes, though, and he was voiced by Scott McNeil, and he was in Transmetal form, but he wasn't a playable character, so he doesn't have that. I'm not too familiar with
the N64 thing, one. Was it?
Yeah, so his alternate colors in the 64 version were blue, yellow, and green, and yellow and silver.
So, it's not even going for Starscream colors.
No. Whenever I first saw them, I thought they... I'm sorry, I'm jumping in here. My Facebook account got hacked while we were sitting here. Whenever I first saw them, I was thinking they were more like a Ramjet, Skywarp, and Thrust colors. That's what was coming to mind for me. They were like the Seeker colors.
I can kind of see that.
I do in the end agree that I think it's probably going to be the Army Builder set this year, which will hopefully will mean that it'll be a cheap Army Builder set this year, because Lord knows the price of those have been going up every single year. But aside from that, not much more I could say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really into it anyway, I love that mold. It's an amazing mold.
Well, I love all of those little guys.
I would have as many of him as possible.
Such a shame that they like phased out those little like MicroMaster kind of designs from the Legend scale. Now they're just standalone figures.
Mm.
Well, what else do we?
It was a black and red one we were trying to figure out.
Yeah, he's sort of black, red, and maroon. He has some black on his face there too.
I'm looking at Waspinator here on TFU.info. 1998 had one as the Transmetal.
Yeah,
it had a couple repaints. One of them looked like kind of a goldish and yellow with green.
Yeah, that's the first one that is based off the Fox Kids Transmetals version.
Yeah, Fox Kids.
And then there was an unreleased Halloween Horror Con pack that was supposed to have a Cheetor in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It had a black and purple Waspinator, which is what the second one in the picture is believed to be. And then the other two are sort of more mysteries because they don't really...
fall into anything.
Yeah, into anything that Waspinator has ever been.
Going back to what we were saying before, it may be one of those things that just are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
A lot of dead air.
Has anybody besides me had a chance or an opportunity to watch the recently posted toy review, the Chinese toy review of the in-hand Combiner Wars Devastator?
No.
Nope.
I started to, but was waylaid by a Massey attack on my ankles.
Nice. Nice. She's got to have some Constructicon in her somewhere. Or he, right.
Yeah. No, he was hungry. The middle of his food bowl was empty. The sides were full. The middle was empty.
That's the most important part.
That's the same thing my cat does. He eats out of the middle, and then he looks. Once it gets down there and there's like a ring of food around there, then he'll look at you like, my food bowl is empty, bitch.
Nice. Yeah. No, I had an opportunity. I think it was must have been Tuesday. I sat and watched. There's two videos. It's two parts. The first video going into detail as far as the transformation into their individual robot modes from the vehicle modes, and then the second video is entirely the assembly of the robot modes into the larger Titan Devastator figure that we all know and love. And I have to say, I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed at the engineering in this. Okay, I don't know. There's probably a good number of our viewers that have never had a Generation 1 Constructicon at all, any of the six. This toy, while it heavily resembles their appearance in the cartoon series, you know, there's a lot of design aspects after that. A lot of the transformation still stays close to the original toys, and so does the connectivity. Interestingly enough, there are so many panels and flip-out pieces and hidden things in these figures. It is wonderful. The way that Hook transforms into the chest and that the head is part of the middle compartment and flips out. I had no idea it was in there. I thought it was going to come out somewhere else. I mean, they did such a good job at storing things and concealing things. I think it makes up for anything that the rest of the Combiner Wars line may have been lacking, like the hollowness or the simplistic transformation. I think a lot of their ideas went into this Devastator figure. All six figures, as you know, are Voyagers. And it is especially good that they are, because they were able to fit in a lot of goodies. The connectivity of the legs alone blew my freaking mind. Okay, in the original toy, there was a separate piece. It was kind of a missile rack that came with long haul.
It was a purple and green piece.
Yeah. Had the two green rockets, or GG had the yellow rockets, but it was a purple, like a triangle arrowhead shaped thing.
Like upside down underwear.
Yeah, basically. What it is in the legs for Mixmaster and Scrapper, which are the two legs, there are sections that flip up and form the back half of each of these legs connection, and then in Longhaul's feet, in his legs, are the front halves of these connection joints, and they kind of sandwich together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Hmm.
They're snug, and they seem to be a secure connection. They don't slip out like your standard Combiner Wars figures, like you would have here.
Almost makes
me not have those joints at all. They are not Scramble City compatible.
It almost makes the sound the way you describe it. It almost sounds like. Are you familiar with Beast Wars Neo Dead End, the Ammonite? He looks like a peppermint.
The way his
shell clasps together.
Yeah, it's like clockwork wheels. You have to mesh up the teeth to get it.
It's like how they like to do motorcycle wheels on Transformers now. If you sit an hour, turn it around, trying to plug them in, and you're like, come on.
Yeah, that's not the way it goes.
If that's the right one that I'm thinking of that you're talking about, then a good buddy of mine, Squawkbox 74, it's like his favorite Transformer.
That thing is awesome.
Any show we go to, he had it with him at SlagaCon. He took it with us, to all these different events, and he always has it with him.
Does he just like shell formers from Beast Wars Neo? Because there's a whole line of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's something.
He probably loves Brake also.
How can you not love Brake? He turns into a penguin.
Right?
But the one thing about the Devastator is that when they first announced it, I was wondering if they had somehow got far enough to make Devastator have Scramble City capabilities.
I did not see any of that.
I can't imagine it being to the point where you could have Long Haul be a head and Hook be the torso. You know, but I thought of that. The first knee-jerk reaction was, could they make a six robot Scramble City combiner that any of them could be any part? And
you have to ask yourself, how are those connections going to be?
I know.
What if those connections also worked with the other Combiner War stuff? Those are going to be some weird arms and legs on people.
The only way I could ever see that working is if they were to go out of left field here
and drop
and do something from Victory and do a Combiner Wars Land Cross, which would be amazing if they did.
Oh, wow. I loved
so much if they did Land Cross.
You know, Land Cross, I could see happening, but he's going to be more of an afterthought thing, just like how we always have that sixth piece on us, where we always have like a Blackjack or something. He's going to be pretty much a cobble together of all the other limbs. Something's going to be a stretch. Something's going to be like, okay, who's going to be Mach? Who's going to be Tackle? It's going to be like, okay, Mach will be the Power Glide mold, and then Tackle will be like, you know, whenever we do get a, you know. Actually, no, there's kind of a few molds that could work for Tackle right now.
Right.
The original
alone had 73 different configurations between all of them. You know?
Oh, no, we'll never get anything like that. I'm thinking more they'll do kind of, I wouldn't say a lazy route, but they'll do something that's more repaints of everything that has existed up to this point.
Yeah.
It's the same way how we look at Alpha Bravo and we know where he's going, you know? It's like, here's
I'm sorry. Was that Bravo?
Bravo.
He's Canadian. You gotta give him
Canadian.
It's Bravo.
Really, it's Bravo.
Bravo. I love it.
Alpha Bravo.
I'm sorry, Daniel.
They'd also have to do the shirt and pants combinations too. Don't forget that. Tackle Mock and.
It's the same thing. How like.
Uh-oh.
I don't think we're ever going to soon. I don't think – like Lyo Kaiser is more of a possibility. He's at least something that I could totally see, you know, using some aerial bot jets and some creativity. And
I'll be honest. If they start doing non-American G1 figures like Road Caesar, Lyo Kaiser, or even later figures like, say, a new JRX –
count me in.
Oh,
let's put it this way, not to be spoilery with the IDW comics, but I mean, the Combiner War stuff is a lot of stuff that also bleeds over from the IDW comics. Lyo Kaiser is going to be a thing in the books. So, you know, not to say anything, but if I was a betting man, it's a possibility.
And we do know that Combiner Wars is lasting through 2016, and we're already on wave three of Combiner Wars.
The one thing I'm going to say is that I don't want Lyo Kaiser to be aerial bots. Nothing wrong with the aerial bots, but I would like Lyo Kaiser to be one of those where we get
I can't original imagine molds. Hasbro manufacturing two more jet limbs. Yeah, on top of, you know, or at the same time, you look at what's his name, Kill Bison, who's a drill, and for you to say like, you know, well then no, but that's what I'm saying. For them to do no, and then to do a kill, Julie, I can't imagine.
Yeah, well, it's there's very few characters that I'm not a G1er, but
something that's a really extensive retool, but I cannot imagine them making a completely original mold for more. I mean, they just did. 5 jets already to make 2 more new jets. To do a drill tank and then to do another drill tank. I can't imagine that. That's on the assumption that if we get a Lyo Kaiser,
right?
If we do, that's the only route I can release. If they don't, then I'm going to shut the hell up. And while Hasbro is willing to put that engineering cost into that, but in general, I can't imagine them going that route.
Yeah, I know. It's just that there are very few characters that I want to be as close.
Oh, of course, I'd love to have a Hellbat completely true to his original.
It's not just that, but there's so many people who cannot afford a Lyle Kaiser. And until we get an Encore version, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, the Combiner Wars version will be the best one people can get.
Mm-hmm. Either that or the BotCon exclusive.
Yeah. Was that too subtle, Duran? Do you think Takara got my hints? I know because I know they're
watching. I think they did, but... Okay. That is assuming that they're watching. But.
Encore, little word of advice, Encore releases only happen during non-movie years, so this is a year for it to happen, if it does.
Yeah.
They always focus on Encore releases on a year that a movie isn't happening.
Which is why we're getting so much platinum stuff.
We're getting Trypticon.
Exactly.
Safety Astro Train.
Yeah.
But yep. Don, it is entirely possible, though, because according to Google Analytics, we do have some Japanese viewers.
I just want Safety Megatron.
Yes.
Safety Megatron and Safety Astro Train would be an awesome shelf.
Ever since I was showed Safety Megatron, that has been like the most awesome Megatron ever. Mm-hmm. I would buy that thing.
So gaudy.
I don't know about the most awesome Megatron ever. That's some big words, but
they could do the Classics Megatron in those colors.
Do the Combiner Wars Megatron in Safety Megatron colors.
Oh God, why would you pay $69 for that? Lost in the States
for a shiny blue Megatron with orange highlights.
Well, and the sad part is, we'll probably get that before we get a G2 Megatron out of that mold too.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we'll ever get it because of the Armada one. I think the Armada.
Please don't. Oh, don't say that. That's depressing.
I know it's sad, but it's kind of them going like, well, we got to do a green tank. If we do get like a green version, I get a feeling it'll be Japan. I think Japan will more likely do it.
Well, they've already.
We'll do it in purple.
They've already showed their
Armada Megatron, and it looks better
too, right?
It looks better.
Of course, it is. They care a lot more about Arms Micron than we do. I don't want that mold to be used as G2 Megatron. I want a better G2 Megatron mold because G2 Megatron was awesome.
Or Bonzatron.
No.
Sorry.
Well, this episode has been such a hodgepodge and everything. We had this whole line of stuff that we was going to talk about, and we've talked about a large portion of it.
There's something about that I was wanting to mention too. A little while ago, we had one of our viewers, Mike Boyle, post in the podcast, in the TFYLP podcast Facebook here. He says, this podcast is so off topic tonight, and then posted a picture of the album cover for Jerry Lee Lewis's Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. So as a shout out to Mr. Boyle here, there you go.
Yes. The Star Trek shaky cam. Let's all do it. Yeah. Everybody shift to one side. Yeah,
hold on. I need a flashlight to create some lens flare.
Yeah. No, you're watching the damn J.J. Abrams version.
Yeah, that's where.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing of it is, though, Duran, with the last week was a really great show.
Well, we've had.
But the week before that was.
You had to have me on it again and screwed it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, we've had some really special episodes the last 2 or 3 weeks that we were covering very specific topics. Yeah.
One was a little heavy.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have just a little free for all.
Really heavy, Doc. Well, I mean, we cover a lot of different topics, and we do a lot of general discussion topics regarding things that are in our fandom. But sometimes, you know, just discussing our knee-jerk reactions of things that are coming out once in a while. You know, we'll want to do that. But we don't want to date ourselves either, because, you know, you go back and listen to an episode 2 years from now and you're like, well, that's all old hat. But it's also really cool whenever we're doing an episode like this, because we're giving our knee jerk reactions to our first sightings of some of this thing, these things like the STCC sets, you know, I see that as a little bit different. But before we wrap it up here, anybody have anything that's really jumping out at them that they want to talk about?
So, well, anybody get wave 3 of Combiner Wars?
I got Groove.
Yep. I've got Defensor. I've got Defensor assembled.
Yep. Oh, that does remind me. Who all was able to pick up Breakneck and or Quickslinger?
I've got them. They're just not open yet.
Not yet.
I'm still not even shown up yet.
I got Quickslinger, and my Superion looks awesome.
Yeah, I got mine from Target. I mean, I posted some links the day they went up, and I ordered it by the. So mine arrived, and it looked like the guys from UPS just sat it on the ground and just kicked the crap out of it.
Ah, so it's broke neck.
Yes.
So I mean, it damaged the blister, and one of the cards was a little crinkled, but it didn't do too much damage to the stuff on the inside. But the box was just in shambles.
I would have took pictures of it and complained. But anyway, poor Alpha Bravo, though, he's been relegated to a non-aerial bot position now.
He is
a shield maiden for Superion now.
He can hang out with Ultra Prime there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
That's kind of my plan, actually, is to use all those extra limbs with the Ultra Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's funny because even though I did get Quickslinger in and I made him a leg on my Superion, Alpha Bravo is actually more prominent on the shelf because the combiners are tall, they're in the back, so you can't actually see their legs. Yeah, it doesn't even make a world of difference that they're back there. So
I will say on Defensor, my hotspot has a few issues with a few things not wanting to peg in. But in Defensor mode, I can't quite get him as G1 looking as Superion, because I have Rook as his right leg and Streetwise as his left, but there's such a difference. But when you make them the same height to be the same leg or the same same height leg, you have to take Rook's backpack and pull it away and angle it, so you can't quite get it looking as G1 as I like. But overall, that first aid is from the off-road mode is so much better than off-road, and I don't know why. It just is. I love Rook. Rook is just a powerhouse. Blades is Blades. Streetwise looks a little odd with that white not quite being the same, but it's not. But when you have it combined, it's really almost nothing to worry about.
Hey, Don. Since you're talking about Defensor there, I was actually watching a review recently, or it was a kind of an addendum to our review, and it mentioned a transformation for Hotspot's legs that is not in the instructions.
Actually, that's the one XB did for T-formers.
T-formers.
Actually, that did fix his leg problem. The problem I'm having is when he's in fire truck mode, the arms come up and peg into the shoulders long ways, but the ratchet in there is like a half click off, and I can't get the notch to go into the peg hole. So his back half of his trailer, one arm is just kind of like this. It won't peg in.
He was a bit tricky to get into his vehicle mode.
And there's like, when you look at him level from the side, the hip joints there on the side, on the front half of the vehicle, it seems like the ratchets are just slightly off, not even like a half a click, but he's kind of has a little bit of a floating look. But he's going to be in defense or hotspot most of the time. So that's just, you know, otherwise, hotspot's a great looking figure.
Yeah.
I don't own one yet, but I was able to have one in hand at a local comic book shop that had some in stock. He is, in my opinion, one of the better looking Combiner Wars standalone figures.
I mean, he looks great. He looks great. He's terrible. His robot mode sucks. His legs are wobbly. He doesn't stand very well.
I don't like
Hotspot in robot mode.
That fixed Jim was talking about will fix the legs, because out of the package, his legs are basically the legs cantilever on themselves, and you've got too many hinges in that lower leg. But you can lock one hinge on each leg inside the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes a lot more stable.
Well, and his
sideburner. Essentially, what you want to do is you want to make his leg hinges go like this, up, over, up, and it'll actually latch in. It'll pop in.
Yeah, but his knees don't actually. I was like, I can't believe they skipped this one point of engineering where his knees, that piece in the middle, plugs into his shin and holds it in place, because it's ridiculous, but. As a torso, a Combiner torso, he looks fantastic. The way his ladder pretty much just wraps, it goes down his chest.
Oh, yeah, that is
between his legs, up on his back, and then his head flips down on his shoulders.
That's something I would expect from a Brave toy.
Yeah, it's a
something just completely out of the blue.
It sort of made me. I really thought it was cool, and I think he makes a great, like, he's sort of shorter than Superion and Defensor, but he's got a much bulkier look to him. He's like, you know, like a guy wearing a bunch of armor.
Yeah, G1 toy was like that too.
Yeah. Well, especially with first aid, when you have first aid as an arm like I do,
all that extra
bulk and ambulance mode just really gives him like a big bruiser kind of look, you know, like a linebacker.
I think he kind of looks like the bomb disposal guy. This is what I see him as. He's just this big. Bulky,
let me go get mine real quick and just show it off real quick.
Okay.
But I think he makes an excellent combiner. I really love the look of him. I still think, and even though I think the aerial bots are the most boring, I think it's the best of the Combiner Wars figures so far. Just because it has a very, I think Silverbolt's torso is the best proportionally. It works the best for poses. Like the problem with Defensor and with Menasor is that if you want to pose them, you get their legs go in awkward directions that from some angles look fine, but other angles look really goofy.
That reminds me, Insane Galvatron showed me a thread on TFW. I don't have the link handy right this second, but I'm as soon as I can, or if he's listening to it and I haven't done it yet, share it in the Facebook group. The Combiner Wars Menasor, like just over my left shoulder, if you're watching the video, I have not done the mod yet, but it's not really a mod. I mean, if you go back to whenever we first saw the Combiner Wars figures at SDCC last year, and they were all glued together, the legs on Menasor or on Motormaster, they collapse down on themselves and they make a much shorter and more stocky torso. And it's actually, if you look at it, it's the way it was originally designed, and it's not shown that's how you transform it in the instruction booklet. I don't know why. But he showed me a picture of it, and I'm like, yeah, that does look familiar, and that does look better. You know, I hope to share that link soon, because it's it just looks so much better.
It sort of killed my hopes of him becoming, well, not really hopes, but I when everyone saw Hotspot, they assumed he's going to be Onslaught, and I don't see how that's going to work.
Actually, I do, because in fire truck mode, if you take off his ladder, you have basically the same look as Onslaught's G1 flatbed.
Well, I agree, but I'm like, I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, how are they going to do the same thing? I mean, literally, Defensor's head is the very tip of the ladder. How are they going?
And I don't can't imagine a centerpiece like Onslaught being a retool of anybody. I think he'll be his own thing.
I don't see how they're going to
put Bruticus's head at the tip of the barrel of the gun. just like Hotspot's face there, or Defensor's face.
I don't know how they're gonna would re-engineer that, so I don't see that one turning into Onslaught. Well,
here is Defensor, and I'll pull back a little bit so you can see. And see, I've got mine in what I call the you know, it's Rook in place of Groove, Streetwise, First Aid, and Blades as the arms. Mm-hmm. And what I was saying about Rook is you sort of have to angle that out to get his feet to lift up to use the peg hole for the Defensor foot. So
really? I didn't have a problem with it. Mine's all the way up.
And you can't rotate it either to make it even with Streetwise.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure there may be some more fiddling I can do with it, but just, you know, and again, I'm not a G1 person, so I just kind of want it as close to G1 as I can. Now again, if we do get a Groove in the United States,
we will.
I can use Rook for Sentinel Maximus, whatever the case may be.
And we can have Grooveception, two grooves.
Sure.
I love that little groove.
Or how Defensor got his groove back.
I love that little groove, and it actually connects well to the torso.
All right, this if you're watching the video, I've got it pulled up. Look at the way the legs are configured here.
I was thinking something like this.
I can't see it.
Sorry, right, screen share.
Yeah. It makes it a little bit stockier, but if you look, it makes him more on par with the height of Superion. And from what I understand, it gives him a lot more stability in standing. Because the Minotaur, if you do it the way the instructions say, or the other fan mode transformations, Minotaur is very easy to knock over. I mean, he just does not want to stand up. But with that mod, or alternate transformation that looks like it should have been the official transformation, it's a lot better.
Mine stands pretty well. It just always looks like he's sort of just thrusting out his chest. Mm-hmm. But I sort of have him standing with like a fist out and his sword, so he just looks like a giant, you know, medieval warrior.
Oh, and speaking of Combiner Wars, there's also at several sites a Japanese ad for the Superion versus Minotaur. There is no rap, unfortunately, so it is not a G2 ad yet.
Yet. Dudicus.
All right, I'm posting the link to the TFW article in the thread on our Facebook group. It's right underneath Jim Black's post in a reply to Mike Boyle. So if you want to check that out, the link is in our Facebook group.
So, Darrell, let me see if I got this straight. Something akin to that.
Looks very much like that, yes.
Oh, wow. That sticks out kind of far.
I don't know if that's exactly it. And now that link, I've also got it in the private group here. I believe it actually says how to do it. So,
I see.
Anybody else have anything further they want to talk about? Because we're about to hit the 2-hour mark here.
Well, trying to think if we covered everything with the Devastator.
I think we beat Devastator to death until we get him in hand.
Yeah. I know what one thing that impressed me about that I forgot to mention was the forearms. A lot of people were wondering about how the forearms function and where they're hidden. And it turns out there are the missile racks that Bone Crusher and Scavenger had in G1. those are essentially multiple missile launchers now. They don't actually launch, but they're supposed to look like they have a bunch in there. And those actually unfold to become the forearms, and they have the fist up inside of them. And the hollowed out forearm that once housed the fist slips over a segment that comes down out of Bone Crusher and Scavenger. It just slips over, kind of like a weird sideways glove. But yeah, it locks onto that. So the inner forearm on Scavenger is the gray or chrome, and then the Bone Crusher I think is black, maybe, or purple. I couldn't really tell too well.
I hope they do better with that chrome than they did on Jetfire.
Maybe.
Well, that being said, I think next week we'll probably do a quick primer for BotCon, and then we'll...
I see what you did there.
About that, I will be there too.
A primer for BotCon?
Yes. Like I said at the top of the show, most of us that's on the show tonight will be there in some form or fashion. You'll find me at the Captured Prey booth assisting there. Don will be around, as is Proto Man and Jim Black, who will be
If you want to find me, I'll be at Joshua Perez and Derek Wyatt's table probably. That'll be my stomping grounds.
But yeah, we'll have a presence there, and we're going to try to do an episode from BotCon, but past experiences have proven to be difficult, especially since I'll be actually helping with the CP3P, where we'll actually be selling third party toys out of the room. So, and I'll be helping that, yeah, unofficially. Since third-party toys are banned from the sales floor. So, you know, it's going to be part of the room-to-room trading, and I'm sure if you look online, you'll find more information about the CP3P that will be available from Capture Prey. And also Mega Toy Fan will also have room-to-room trading as well in his park party, as he always does. Looking forward to that a lot, too. But there may be a week or so here, around BotCon where we actually might miss an episode, but it's because we'll either be traveling or busy with something, but we're going to try, and I'm going to knock on wood here, get something together at the show. If not, maybe pre-record something. I don't know.
And if not, I'm just going to get on here live and I'm just going to sit here.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, y'all, Duran, I'm not sure if you would want to do this, but if we can't do a live show, maybe they could be live while we're there with the Hasbro panel.
Well, I did upgrade my phone, and I've got a 6 gig plan, so I might be able to stream a little video and join in if Cyburn and maybe Tobias can do like a little show. We might do like a little short show, and I can do that. But I know we did a similar thing at TFCon a year or so ago with Megamus, and it was difficult because he was trying to sell stuff and talk and I do recall some alcohol being involved, so it's a little bit difficult.
He was selling alcohol too.
No, he wasn't selling alcohol.
It is Canada.
I was like, man, no wonder he was so popular.
No, knowing Megamus, if he could have, he would have.
Yeah. Sure. Like I said, next week we'll probably try to do a BotCon primer. And no, we're not going to sit here. I'm sure we'll mention it, but we're not going to sit here and harp, take a shower, and all that crap, because we've said that before every convention show.
Take a shower.
And it is important. Seriously. Seriously, dude. I mean, we wouldn't keep mentioning it if it wasn't that big of a problem. But anyway, we will we'll overview the known toys that's there. I will also try from the actual custom class to post pictures of the custom class toy on the website and also on the Facebook group. So we can check that out whenever we get there. But also next week, I want to basically overview the toys that we know. I want to talk about the guests and everything and really, really hype it up. If we can, I want to try to get Pete on here, but I know he's probably going to be really busy.
Probably really busy the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're going to try. I mean, we'll see what we can do, see what we can get together, and get a little primer for everybody that's going to BotCon, and those of you who are not, we'll just sit there and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, seriously, we're gonna have some fun and talk about BotCon because it is basically the Super Bowl of Transformers, official Transformers collecting.
Yep. So,
only our balls are inflated.
Yes, we are not the Tom Brady of Transformers. Well, I guess with that being said, we will see you next week on TFYLP for Cyburn 2, Marani Prime, Headmaster Dawn, and Proto Man. This is Weird Wolf. We'll see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.